When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, folks, another edition here of Krantz's Corner. We're going to talk a little hoops here with one of my favorites, Wes Goldberg. He does the Miami Heat and NBA, covers everything, Locked on Heat, Locked on NBA, Real GM Radio, the whole deal. Wes, happy holidays. Welcome back to Krantz's Corner.
Happy holidays. Thanks for having me.
Best time of the year right now, and I don't mean holiday-wise, sports-wise. I think, really, it is the best time of the year also. Although, in my house, and you can see in the background of Wes's video, too, very festive here on Krantz's Corner, even with my virtual background. All right. Let's get right into everything here. And I guess I got to start with this. The Jimmy Butler saga going on with the Miami Heat right now, Golden State, Shams, Bernie Lee. It's a soap opera, but you know we love soap operas here in Miami. What are you getting out of all this? What do you think the end result is going to be when it's all said and done?
I think the smoke is real. I think that whatever Shams has reported, I have no reason to doubt it. I know Bernie Lee was going after him on Twitter, but look, you know, Bernie Lee went after Shams, called him a liar, said that none of this stuff was true, called it, quote unquote, fabricated. Okay, fine. That means then Brian Windhorst is also lying. It means that Mark Stein's also lying. It means that Jake Fisher is also lying. It means that David Aldridge is also lying. It means like the whole NBA insider community has all come together to go after Jimmy Butler, I guess, to conspire against Jimmy Butler and ruin the Miami Heat. I guess that's just what the national media decided to do. Against a team that's two games over 500. I suppose that's what the and I say that obviously sarcastically because, you know, whatever you want to think about how all of this was reported, this is the only logical thing that should be happening right now. This is where it all was going to be headed as soon as Pat Riley called out Jimmy Butler in his end of season press conference and publicly said, we're not going to give this guy an extension. And Jimmy Butler has made it very clear he wants another contract. He wants to sign a max contract. Who knows whether or not that's out there? That's sort of where I guess the next part of this conversation is look, the Heat and Jimmy Butler are at a crossroads. That much is certain. We don't know what the future of Jimmy Butler in Miami looks like. And so something's got to give. Either he's going to opt out and the Heat are going to sign him to a new contract, or they're going to sign him to some sort of contract extension before the June 29th deadline, or they're going to trade him before the February trade deadline, or they're going to trade him in the summer in a sign and trade or something. But something's going to happen, right? Like something has to happen because this can't or he could just opt in and we can kick this can down the road for another season. Like all of these things are on the table, but a decision has to be made here. And that's why everything I think is open and up in the air. Like the Miami Heat are listening to trade offers for Jimmy Butler. It doesn't mean that they're aggressively shopping him.
Right.
It doesn't mean that Jimmy Butler's not going to be on this team after the February deadline. It just means that the Heat are doing what any logical, smart front office would do, and they're weighing their options.
Right. And as they should at this point as well. I'm with you on that one. Listening to calls or actively shopping is two way different things at this point, and I'm fine with that. And where the Heat are right now, we get it. What do you think the best scenario is for Jimmy himself at this point, and the best scenario for the Heat? And the part three of that is, if both of them are together, what do you think the best is for both these kind of parties going forward at this point? Start with Jimmy. What's the best option you think for Jimmy right now?
It's such a great question, because that really kind of that could determine a lot, right? Jimmy right. Butler is holding on to his last bit of leverage here. He does not have a no trade clause. He's not technically a free agent, although he is telling everybody he is going to be a free agent. And that's how he's kind of wielding whatever little leverage that he has. He's essentially being like, hey, if you trade for me, I'm going to opt out. So if I don't want to play for you, don't trade for me. And that's going to be his way of using leverage. And also to the Miami Heat, hey, I'm going to opt out. So either sign me to this extension now or trade me somewhere where I want to be. And so does Jimmy Butler prioritize the money over everything? I know publicly he said he doesn't care about money. Okay, I'll believe that when I see you play for a minimum wage in the right. NBA, right? Like, stop. Come on. Come on with this. You know, what he said and all these actions are very different things. So does he prioritize the money? Does he prioritize being in Miami? I think if it were up to Jimmy Butler, he would get both. He would get a max contract in Miami. I truly believe that is what Jimmy Butler wants to do. I don't think he wants to switch teams if we're up to him. But if the Heat aren't willing to give him the max dollar and there's another team out there that is, then I think that becomes something that he's going to have to weigh. Now, I don't think he'll just go anywhere. I don't think he'll go anywhere for the amount of money. That's just my guess, reading the tea leaves. I got no reporting on that. But that's why you've seen these teams that are sort of quote-unquote win-now teams, whether it's Golden State, Houston, Dallas, Phoenix even. There's been some rumblings about, hey, would Denver kind of try to get in on this? Like, teams that are in the win-now mode who could technically look at Jimmy Butler and say, yeah, you know what? Probably going to look, if we sign him to a max contract, that's going to look bad maybe 3 years from now. But right now, he could be that piece that takes us over the top. Right. And so it'll be worth maybe us chasing a title. That's why I think you see all of that stuff happening. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, I'm sorry I'm going long with this, but no. I don't really know what the best option is here, because if you're the Heat, trading Jimmy Butler, I think the window's closed on this team already. Trading Jimmy Butler really just kind of puts that nail in the coffin,
right?
In whatever era this is. And it's hard to do that. You've got to be able to get something back for Jimmy Butler. I'm a firm believer in the NBA. If you're trading a star, you better get something back that gives you a chance to get a star. It's not going to be a guarantee, but you better be getting a lottery ticket back in the deal of some kind, right? Whether or not that's, you know, literally a lottery pick, or it's somebody like Jonathan Kuminga or something like that who you think could be a star going forward. You know, I think about when Oklahoma City traded Paul George. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander back. Right. And look what happened. You know, like, you've got to get that kind of something, a lottery ticket back of some kind. It can't just be role players and bad picks and maybe some salary relief. Like, you got to get something tangible back that gives you a shot. And I don't really know the deal that's out there for Miami that brings that back, right? And there's a lot of different reasons for that. I guess we can maybe get into, but I do think that ultimately just kind of feels like this is probably coming to an end in some way, shape, or form. Maybe that's just me buying into the reporting around this and just believing that where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't see, if you're the Miami Heat, how you could possibly be okay with doing this again for another year when right. It's clear that you're not as good as Boston or Cleveland, and teams like the New York Knicks and Orlando Magic are lapping you in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I just look at it also as 100% I'm with you and right behind you in the picket line with if you're going to trade Jimmy, don't give me 6 second round picks. Three role players just because they have expiring contract. Like that way of the NBA is gone at this point. Right. I think we saw that 5-10 years ago where you're trying to get rid of a guy, you are rebuilding. This Heat team is nowhere close to rebuilding at this point. Also, we're not talking about, you know, fully getting rid of guys and just starting from scratch. We're looking about getting another piece in here, younger piece that could, like you said, blossom into a better player. But I would be really pissed off as a Heat fan if Jimmy Butler got traded and you got back a possible guy, a couple twos, and like a first-round pick in like 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, something that's not going to help you right now. And with this team the way it is, where maybe another piece comes in here and makes them a little bit better or better in general. Yeah, that would really get to me at this point. And I don't see, like you said, Pat Riley laying down the red carpet for another 3 years at $60 million a year for Jimmy Butler. So you're right. This impasse, it's not down the road. I think it's a lot closer than it is, you know, in the future. It's going to hit this Heat team, this Heat franchise, and this Heat fan base in the face pretty quickly. It just depends on what they get back at this point.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to look at it, too. I think that there's maybe a possibility that Jimmy Butler does opt out and just says, it looks at the landscape and says, you know what, that money's not really out there. Maybe I come back to Miami at, you know, $30 million. The other thing, too, is it's $52.4 million next year for right. Jimmy. Like, he could... James Harden did this a couple years ago with Philadelphia where he kept threatening to opt out. What happened? He opted in because that deal wasn't out there. And so I'll believe that Jimmy Butler is going to say no to $52.4 million when I see it. Like, I don't, just because all the reporting around here is that I'm definitely opting out. That's again, him wielding his leverage as much as he possibly can. But it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But if you're the Heat, again, like, there's a couple of things here. Like, you're at risk of getting into the repeater tax and being a first apron team now 2 years in a row. And with that becomes a lot of roster building limitations. I think part of Miami would say, look, that would be great if Jimmy Butler just opted in, but now we've got to look over here and start trading some other guys to try to create some cap relief. And so there'd be a domino effect with that. Now, I'm not saying that they would be opposed to that. Right. I'm just telling you what would kind of be the order of operations there. And then the other thing, if you're Miami, is if you do trade Jimmy Butler, you've got to think about, because you're absolutely right, like, you're not going to tear it down. You still have Bam. You still have Tyler Hero. So what's a piece that can fit with those guys? Or what is something that we can get back that helps us kind of rebuild our asset package and stuff, like rebuild our draft capital, gives us a couple more assets to move in a deal that then we can move in the summer for the next star who becomes available. And maybe whatever we trade Jimmy Butler for is only here for a couple of months. And then they're out the door in July for, you know, star player XYZ who might be available in the summertime, but isn't necessarily available right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, outside of one of these crazy packages, and we've seen it over the years too, where a team is trading like four first round picks or something like that, I could tell Riley in the back of his head, if something like that was offered, I think he would like that. So he'd have that to go with his young core, because we talked about the young core all the time and I love it. Is it a Eastern Conference contending young core without Jimmy Butler? Maybe, but it's, you know, we'll have to see at this point whether those young guys could really step up, the Triple J's of the world, the Wares of the world, guys like that, to really contribute with Bam, with Tyler, with this team right now. But yeah, it's just an interesting kind of saga we're in right now, because Jimmy got this Heat team pretty far a couple different times. He is a Heat kind of, you know, quote unquote, I'll put up the air quotes, getting to be the Heat lifer guy. What do you do with a situation like that? But I also look at the Pat Riley sense of it and the business sense of it. I don't know if he's worth $60 million over the next 2 or 3 years. If the farthest you're going to get is where he's gotten in the finals is one thing, that's fine. But the East is also getting better. It's not like the Heat are the top core team and, you know, it's just, all right, let's hold on for another year and see what could happen. No, there's other really good teams around the East and young teams. I can remember having this conversation with you and other people 2 or 3 years ago when we talked about the fact that, oh, Orlando in a couple of years is going to be really good. Well, they're there. Teams are there at this point.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of get there. Well, the Thomas Bryant trade, roster spot stuff, what was the whole deal with that at that point? Because I know with that, Ware is going to move up a little bit. Drew Smith, I know, is Spo's new boo bear. He loves Drew Smith at this point. But, like, where was the Thomas Bryant trade kind of in your eyes, in your mind? What happened there?
So, you know, the Heat needed to open up some cap space if they were going to promote Drew Smith to the 15-man roster. The Indiana Pacers were desperately looking for backup center help. They lost James Wiseman and Isaiah Jackson to Achilles injuries. So they basically only had Miles Turner at that spot. They were playing Obi Toppin. It was a mess over there because of their injuries. Thomas Bryant has the Indiana connection. He went to college there. I had heard about a couple weeks ago that they were seriously considering Thomas Bryant and kicking the tires on him when he became trade eligible on Sunday. 2 days before Sunday, it was reported that trade was going to happen. So I wasn't surprised by it. But then, yeah, I think Drew Smith's emergence in this rotation during this four-game win streak, and he's played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter in three straight games now. Like, Eric Spoelstra quite literally cannot take this guy off the court in the highest leverage of moments. And so, yeah, I think this is a guy, Drew Smith, by the way, who was on the regular roster last year before the ACL injury. Like, he had already earned the 15-man roster spot. Right. And then because of the ACL injury, they had to waive him, and then they didn't have a roster spot for him and going into this season, and so they brought him back on a two-way contract. And so they kept him in-house. They were kind of biding their time. and they finally found they found somebody who needed some depth at center. Thomas Bryant was sort of out of the rotation. They gave him a real good shot at the beginning of this year. He was the backup center because Kevin Love was away from the team for personal reasons. It just never really materialized for Thomas Bryant for a lot of different reasons in Miami. I think he was very well liked in the locker room. I think the coaching staff really enjoyed him and being around him, but it just wasn't working within the system. It just wasn't the right basketball fit. And so they go. He goes to Indiana, where I think it's a better basketball fit for him. And then if you're the Heat now, you don't have to worry about the limitations on a two-way contract for Drew Smith. There's no game played limit like you do in the two ways. There's nothing like that. And then also you reward a guy who you've been wanting to reward in the first place. So Drew Smith will probably get promoted here, although the Heat have 2 weeks. They have 14 days to fill that roster spot. You have to be at least 14 guys in the NBA, but they give you 14 days to hit that minimum. So it's not a guarantee. I think we're like 99% probably there, but right. Stuff can happen in 2 weeks. Who knows? And maybe something changes. But right now, they just have the flexibility to add Drew Smith up. And then that opens up another two-way, right? And then that could go to somebody like Isaiah Stevens,
right?
Perhaps, who was very impressive in summer league. And then obviously, it starts the process. And you already mentioned Khalil Ware, but all right, one less guy in front of him in the depth chart. It's just Kevin Love and Bam Adebayo in front of him now. Nikola Jovic, I suppose, has played some backup five.
Right.
But you're starting the process of getting Khalil Ware into the regular rotation. And I think if it was up to the Heat, Khalil Ware would be the backup center by the end of the regular season, but he's just not there yet. But he has been making strides.
Yep. It'd be nice to see that by the end. You know, if the end of the season he is in that rotation, that big rotation, and that backup guy, that'd be good. It's nice to see the draft picks after all the years, and we're going back, you know, a while, but after all the years of Riley and these guys not really caring about draft picks, now really developing these guys, first round guys, top guys. It's fun to see that for this Heat team, this Heat organization, obviously seeing Bam and Tyler kind of lead the way at this point and all these guys around them. So it is good with that. Detroit's in town tonight. Heat, like you said, going for five straight. First question, or really the only question I have for this is, how good is Detroit and Cade Cunningham? This is a team that, you know, last year, the year before, we could be talking about down in the depths, the bottom of the league, this and that, young guys getting better. Sometimes it doesn't take long for these guys to take that next step, and it looks like Cade and Detroit have kind of taken a step forward, not maybe that next step, but at least a big step forward. What are your thoughts on this team and Cade individually as a player?
First of all, I enjoy watching this Pistons team a lot. They're always in that like weird 7 o'clock slot where they're like always the first game that starts. So I've watched so much Pistons this year because I feel like I get like 20 minutes of them before the rest of the games start, you know,
at 7:30.
Right. Exactly. A little appetizer, a little Pistons appetizer. And so they've been a lot of fun to watch. Cade Cunningham has really come along. He's still far from a perfect player. He's not quite an all-star in my mind, but the pull-up three is starting to come along. He's always been a good, like, feel for the game, facilitator kind of guy. And he's had a tendency to burn Miami in the past. I mean, this Pistons team, we can go back to the beginning of last season. Even when they were bad last year, they've always really competed with Miami. It's always been like a weird matchup for them. They've got like guys who will just randomly burn them, whether it's like a Simone Fontecchio who went off like 22 and 23 points against Heat twice last year. And, you know, they've got guys like Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart in the front court who can give Bam some problems just because of their length, their physicality and all that kind of stuff. It's just a little bit of a hindrance there. But like the Heat, the last time these teams played, obviously the big headline coming out was Eric Spoelstra getting called for the technical foul because he called the timeout when he didn't have one. The game goes to overtime and they lose that game. They also didn't have Jimmy Butler in that game. That was a big, you know, big reason why they lost that game. Also, they will have Jimmy Butler in this game. They should win this game. But yeah, I think the Pistons are a good team, and they're not one that can be taken lightly.
You a fan of the cup, the whole the Emirates Cup and all that stuff? You a fan of that?
I'm deciding.
Let me tell you, before you even give your answer, I just want to let you know that I was asked this by my brother's a huge basketball person. I mean, like, can name the 15th guy on whatever team you wanted. He's that guy. When I ask him that, he's a Knicks fan, so we won't hold that against him too much. But outside of the Knicks being in this championship, if they were in the Emirates Cup, his basic answer to me is, yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, right. I guess is the answer I get. I'm waiting for you to give me the yeah, I guess answer. I'm waiting.
It is sort of that, right? I'm like, I'm deciding to like it because it's here. It's here to stay. Like, why fight it? It's like, just, I'm trying to, we're not quite at New Year's yet, but I'm starting to think of my New Year's resolutions. Like, be more of a positive person. Just enjoy things. Be a little bit less cynical. I'm just like, okay, this is fun. This is fun. I'm going to decide that I like this now because why not? I will say this. From just a selfish standpoint, I love the NBA Cup nights because it feels like a playoff. Yes. In that, like, it's not necessarily a playoff atmosphere, but it's only two games that I have to pay attention to. And then somebody who watches like basically 18 games a night at this point, having just like the one game in the first slot and the set in the late game, and I just get to pay attention to those, and I can go on Twitter and everybody's watching the same game, and there's kind of this monoculture thing happening where we're all watching the same thing for a little bit. That part I do like. I really do enjoy that. And so Tuesday night, I'm actually doing the Locked On NBA post-game reaction show for the NBA Cup Final, and it's like, okay, cool. One game, I can really kind of, you know, get my teeth into it, chew on it, chew on the bone, and just be, and really kind of dig into it the way that you would like a playoff game. And that part I do like, as just somebody who gets to talk about this.
Chew down to that bone marrow, Wes. Right down to that bone marrow. All right. True or false here before I let you go. Four player names I'm going to give you. Just tell me true or false if they're going to be back on their same team after or before that trade deadline is kind of over at this point. The Wes Goldberg crystal ball, as most people would say at this point. Zach LaVine, going to be a Bull or not? True or false after the deadline?
True, he will be on the Chicago Bulls still.
You will.
That contract's too difficult to move.
Right.
I think there's a lot of teams that would love to have him on their team, but it's just in today's league with the salary cap, it's just too hard to move that, especially in the middle of the year. So I'll say true.
All right, two guys on the same team. I'm interested in both these names, by the way. Brandon Ingram, true or false, going to be on the same team?
The injury really complicates things. So depending on whether or not I'm going to say true also. I think he probably is just still on the Pelicans because the injury. I just don't know if you're another team how you could take that on at this point.
Zion Williamson, Pelican or not, true or false, trade deadline. Ooh, look at that smile already. I like it.
He'll be on the Pelicans, I think. Okay. Also, again, with the injury, the whole thing. But, I mean, if you're another team, you could look at him as an expiring contract because they can literally just waive him at no, there's non-guaranteed after the season. So maybe there's like, I don't know, if you're in Chicago, it'd be like Zach LaVine for Zion Williamson, and then we just wave Zion, and now we get off of it. But I also don't know that New Orleans would do that either. So, true, I think he's still in the Pelicans.
All right, last one, and I'm going to let you ride here. You knew this name was coming at you at some point. LeBron James, Laker in a month, true or false?
False. I think he gets traded to. No, I'm kidding. It's probably no. He's on the
list. Oh, that was that my headline was ready for that one, right?
I tried to do it. No, he'll be on the Lakers. He is the only fun fact. He is the only other player outside of Bradley Beal in the league who has a no trade clause. So you have two players in the NBA who have a no trade clause: LeBron James and Bradley Beal. So it is up to him whether or not he's a Laker, and I don't see that guy leaving LA.
Right. Yeah. It would just shock me at this point if that happened. You know, whether the Golden State stuff is up out there or whatever it is, it would shock me at this point if LeBron is not in a Laker uniform to end the season or end his career at this point, if that's going to be it right then and there. All right, Wes. Good stuff, man. As always, love talking some hoops with you. Love reading your stuff all the place. Listen, if you're not a fan of Wes Goldberg on social media, you're missing out on a lot of NBA stuff. He does videos every single day, Locked On Heat, Locked On NBA, and the radio stuff, Real GM Radio. Plus, when he's writing, it's all over the place. Whether it's The Ringer or one of these places, he's all over the place too. Wes, one of the OGs here on Krantz's Corner. Thanks for your time, as always. We'll bug you again soon. And if LeBron gets traded, I'm texting you right away because we're doing a quick 5-minute emergency pod at that
point.
Just
pull out that quick like 5 seconds where I predicted it without actually predicting it.
Right. I'm going to say winners. Wes said this weeks ago. What are you talking about? He had it right then and there. That's good stuff. Thanks again, though. We'll bug you again soon. Right before the new year, we'll get you back on.
Sounds great.
All right. That's Wes Goldberg, my man and OG here on Krantz's Corner. Locked On Heat, Locked On NBA podcast, Real GM Radio as well. Talking a little Miami Heat and a little NBA here and his thoughts on the cup. No, that's not that big of a deal. That wasn't a big headline there. But that's it here on Krantz's Corner.